This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Already there, Joan Armour Trading from her latest offering, the album Consequences. Beautiful, beautiful indeed. It's 12 after 11 o'clock here on Power Perspective. I have been asking you all evening, in fact, asking you what some of your favorites from Joan Armour Trading are. And we've gotten all sorts of suggestions here. And I have been, of course, throwing them out throughout the show. Do keep them coming in. Remember, you are you can give us a ring on 0861-987-000 or we'll send us voice notes or WhatsApp text messages on 0833-303-7093. Do tweet me as well at Seben Kambule and at PowerFM987. Use the hashtag Power Perspective when you do so. Very, very honored this evening to now be joined on the line by the legend herself, Joan Armour Trading. Ms. Joan, it's a pleasure to have you on Power Perspective. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sebe. Thank you. It's I'm in the UK and it's hot. It's so hot.
A complete contrast to us here. We're in 0 degrees, minus two, minus 4 degrees. Oh. It's cold.
What I'd do to have that now.
thank you very much for joining us. How has the last year and a bit been with the pandemic? That seems like the obvious first question for everybody, because we still smack bam in it in the third wave here, but we finally slowly but surely getting inoculated. From where you are, how have you experienced it all?
Well, in terms of creativity, it hasn't affected that at all. None of the songs on the album reference it. I didn't get any inspiration from being in the pandemic and the virus and everything. I don't write about any of it in the songs. Mm-hmm. The songs are just the songs. It didn't affect the recording, because it's the way I record anyway. I write alone, record alone, engineer everything, play everything. So I'm just usually just in the studio on my own. So none of that affected it. But of course, day-to-day living, totally different story. You know, you can't go and see your friends. Mm-hmm. You, if you want to go to a walk in the park, is it Wednesday at 2 o'clock? You know, you can't go to a restaurant. All the things that we all have had to kind of do without, mm-hmm. I had to do without. But luckily, as I say, creatively and in terms of recording, absolutely no difference. I was able to do what I do normally. It's such a different experience we're going through. As I say, none of the songs reference it. They have no relation to COVID. However, the album is called Consequences. Mm-hmm. And the reason I wrote Consequences is because I'm always talking about actions and reactions. And the smallest mm-hmm. thing you do, you think, oh, that's all right, I'll just do that, it doesn't matter. But you'd be amazed at the smallest thing you do, what the ripple effect can be. And the ripple effect in terms of COVID is somebody either ate something and got a virus and passed it on, or somebody let something loose in the laboratory mm. and the virus escaped. We don't know. Mm. That's a consequence. As I say, nothing to do with my album, but that's the consequence. Mm. And the consequence of that is the world shut down. Yeah, our freedom, yeah. as we know it, was totally taken away. Economies were kind of, you know, put into really kind of desperate situations. People couldn't go to work. People couldn't just go shopping normally. You know, everything was just different. It's quite amazing. And it's amazing the change we'll have to now live with, a sort of change, because I don't think we can just say, oh, that's it, it's finished, we'll just mm-hmm. go back to as we were. I don't mm-hmm. think that's going to happen, but we'll see some changes. Absolutely. So, as I say, the consequences isn't about this, but this is what consequences is all about, mm. you know, mm. things that happen. On the album, consequences is about people who are together, and the one person is saying to the other, look, you need to think of your actions, because the choices you make could mean we could might not be together anymore. So you've got to think about what you're saying and doing.
Absolutely. How long in the making was this album?
I started in January, and I probably finished it, January 2020, and probably finished in June, I think, something like that. Certainly delivered to the record company by July, but I think I finished in June. And that kind of writing time is sort of normal again for me. That's, you know, that's how I write. That I don't spend forever making an album.
50 years in the business. It sounds unimaginable. Just even saying that, 50 years, 22 studio albums later, and you're still going.
Yeah, somebody said, Joan, you realise you've been doing this for half a century. That's when it sounds like a long time. But I absolutely love it. I mean, I love writing, I love recording, and it comes in a great order. I love writing, I love recording, and then I love going on tour. I decided I wouldn't go on tour anymore in that kind of way. So I hadn't planned on doing any gigs this year or next year, or I just haven't, because I don't want to be on the road in the same way. That's why I'm doing the live stream concerts, because the album came out and I thought, well, it would be really, actually really nice to do a concert. But I'm not going to get to South Africa. I'm not going to get to Australia and America and the different places. So I thought the live stream is a really good way. People can see a concert with all the songs from all the different albums and the new songs. And, you know, so please come along to the concert. It's at, you just go to my website, johnnymatrading.com, buy your ticket and come and see it. I have to tell you, it's going to be great.
We believe you. We do indeed. The last time you were in South Africa, was it in 2014?
Yes, I think it was.
Right, when we were celebrating our 20th year of democracy.
That's right. That's right. And I was given the honour of being the only non-South African artist to appear on that bill. I felt incredibly honoured that I was asked, and it was fantastic, and all the other artists on it were great. I mean, it was a lovely day. It was a really lovely day.
How do the three parts? So you've mentioned three parts of how you create, right? So the writing, the recording, and the touring. Do you have a favorite of those three? How do each part of it compare?
Writing is the absolute favorite, and that's why I say it comes in the right order. Without the song, you've got no recording, you've got no tour, and that applies to everybody. If you just look at entertainment in a kind of a thing. Without the play, without the playwright, there is no going into the theatre and watching a play. You've got to have the written thing first, and then everything else can follow. And I love writing the words. I love coming up with the melodies. And then I love coming up with the arrangements. And I like playing the arrangements as well. But the writing of the words and the melody, that's it. Words, melody and arrangements, for me, that's a song. And I kind of do that. So that's king for me. And the beauty of writing songs is that every song will tell you what it wants to be. I know it sounds really weird, but for me, that's the truth. If I'm writing a song, the song will say, okay, Joan, these words need to be about this particular subject. And my subjects tend to be love and emotion and how people communicate. But it'll say, after you've written these words, here's the melody and here's what you need to play it on. You need to play it on the guitar. You need to play it on a 12 string, or you need to play it on a 6 string, or you need to play it on an electric guitar, or it needs to be very rhythmic, or it needs to be very melodic, or it needs to be on the piano, or it needs to be in this key. It needs to be in a C or a D, whatever. And the song actually tells you all of those things. That it needs to be the song that it's going to be. Very weird. I don't know how that works. And another thing that's really interesting about writing is, you know, sometimes you might think, oh, I'm going to write this song in the key of C. And you sit down at the piano and your hand naturally falls to an E chord. You've got to now decide, is that a mistake or is that where the song wants to be? You know, it's the weirdest thing, and you just have to follow it. You have to just trust that that's how it works, and that's how it works.
And do you always go for that option, that this is where the song wants to go, or is there a part of your times that wants to dictate where it goes?
No. I mean, I've written songs in keys that really I shouldn't have written them in, because it's not necessarily the best key for me to sing in, but the song sounds best there. You know, whatever, if you might say, oh, I wanted to write it in C, the song tells me to do it in E, I'm doing it in E, so let me go back to C. And then you find that there's something isn't going to work as well as it should. You know, you can't get certain parts of it to work, or even though the voice sounds comfortable, the emotion of the thing isn't right, you know. So you do have to listen. You have to listen to those mistakes and know that they're not mistakes. That's what's supposed to happen. And that, as a creative person, it's your job to know those things.
Mm-hmm. With a career that spans a period over 5 decades, do you still listen back to the earlier work? And if you do, how does it sound for you? Or is it all just a continuous process of creating?
It is a continuous process of creating, and I'm hoping that as I'm creating continuously, that I'm getting better. That's the plan. The plan is to get better. But I mentioned the live stream concert. Well, one of the songs will be Travel So Far. That song came out in 1975. Mm. Down to Zero will be there. That's 1976. There'll be a song from 2007. You know, there'll be songs from 78 or whatever. So those songs, it might be a way away, but they're good songs. And some of them are songs that people really, really want to hear, like Love and Affection. People always want to hear that. So I'll play that at every concert. So that'll be there. But then I'll play Already There. I'll play Consequences. Mm-hmm. I'll play stuff from the new album. So it's. I don't necessarily play, like I won't necessarily sit down at home and put on one of my records to listen and relax to. But I might put one on if I'm getting ready for a tour and I'm thinking, well, what song shall I play in the show? Then I'll do that, because I want to see, you know, which of these older songs will go well with the newer songs.
Mm-hmm.
But you should be proud of, you should be proud of what you've done. I'm proud of the songs that I've written. I'm really pleased about how people have taken to the songs, and all these years later, still want to hear those songs.
Yes.
I mean, Drop the Pilots came out in 1983. I'm in love with that song at the minute. I think what a great song. I mean, it's not that I don't know the song, but suddenly I think, what a great song. It's so up. It's so kind of joyful. It's really, it makes you feel happy.
Yeah. Who do you create for, Ms. Joan? Before I bring in callers, and I know people are getting impatient with me, but I'll open up the lines in just a second. But I'm quite interested in your creative process over the years, as you say, it comes to you. You don't necessarily consume too much of the other stuff, and that's also what's helped you always stick to your own sound, per se, or do what feels right in the moment. But in as it comes to you, and in the process of creation, who do you have in mind? Who are you creating for? Is it yourself or the world?
Yeah.
As you have
me, because I have no idea what everybody wants. I can't create for you and the next person who's going to come on the line. I don't know. You're both going to want something different. So I can't write and think, well, you know, will all of South Africa like this song? Will all of England like this song? Will America like it? I can't do that because I don't know. But I know what I like. And I'm the one that needs to be happy. And I'm the one that needs to feel that I've satisfied myself, that I've done the best that I can with that song. Once I've done it, I can hand it over and say, okay, guys, what do you think? Do you like it?
Yeah.
And once I do that, I have to hand it over and leave it, because I can't then kind of go around to everybody and say, well, when you listen in this way, because this is what I meant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What then of people who then do covers of your songs? Because you also can't say when you interpret the song, interpret it this way. So when you hear those, do you are you excited or do you cringe a little? How do you experience it?
Even bad versions, I think, oh, how great that they wanted to sing that song. And I have heard some bad versions, but I've heard some really lovely versions of my songs, some really nice, interpretations, and not always from people who are well known, just some YouTubers, for instance, have done some really nice versions. Mm-hmm. No, it's a big compliment if somebody wants to sing one of your songs. It's a big compliment. Because remember, when they're singing it, they've got to have spent time learning it.
Yes.
That's time they could have been doing something else. And they chose to spend the time learning that song. So it must mean something to them.
Absolutely. All right, so we're going to play the next one. I'm going to open the lines up now. I know you want to have a conversation with Ms. Joan Omotrading, who's joining us this evening on Power Perspective. So give us a ring on 0861-987-000. Tweet me as well at Sebin Kambule and at Power FM 987.
To anyone who will listen, please hear what I say. Turn off your judgment.
To anyone who listened, from Joan Omotrading's latest offering, Consequences. Tell us about this one, Ms. Joan.
I was reading an article about a chap that he was a depressive, and he was saying that all he wanted was, he didn't want people to kind of go out and action anything, bring him anything, help him do stuff. All he wanted was for them to listen, because he felt that if they listened, he could get what he had on his chest and on his mind out, and out of his body, as it were. And that was really important to him. And I really felt for him. It touched me enough to make me write the song. And then I watched the program after I've written the song, the album was out and everything. But Oprah Winfrey had a program called The Me You Never See, something like that. Mm. And Lady Gaga was on there. And she was saying the mental health issues that she's had. And the important thing was for people to listen. She said people would go out, they'd action things without having listened to you. So they were doing, the actions were wrong because they hadn't really listened, so they hadn't heard what you were saying. Mm. Other people in the program were saying the same thing. So listening is really, really important. And I was just trying to get that across in the song.
Mm-hmm. How would you characterize your relationship with the media over the years?
With the media? I've no idea. I don't know. I mean, what I do is I make a record, I bring it out, and I talk to people and say, I brought out a record. That's my level of
engagement,
interaction with the media.
So you didn't care much about not getting enough radio play in the early years, not getting that recognition at that level?
Of course, every artist, when you bring an album out, new songs out, you want as many people to hear it as possible. And of course, you want them to play it on the radio. But, that's kind of up to the people on the radio. I can't go and say to them, you must do this. So, you just have to hope that people will like what you do and play it. But you can't get hung up on that, because I'm not doing it just to be played on the radio. I'm doing it because this is what I was born to do. I love writing. So even if nobody, and please, I want you to like what I do, but even if nobody liked what I did, I would still write, because I have to write. It's kind of in me, so I've got to do it.
I'm taking some calls on 0861-987-000. Let's hear from Jan in Hammanskraal. Hi, Jan.
Let me try another way. Well, anyway, we'll do. Good evening, Joan.
Fantastic. That's going back.
How are you?
Very good. I like your singing.
I've been singing your song since when I was still 14 years of age.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you.
During the school debates at in school halls, and this your songs remind me of my childhood friend. He's now late. We used to, during break, we would just sit, listen to the radio, write the songs down, and then come Friday, we are ready to sing. Fantastic. So you are not the only one who was singing. We were singing with you wherever you were.
I like it. That's it. That's what it's for. That's what the songs are for. They're for people to sing along to and just take to heart and look and know those words to that song.
Yeah, thank you very much.
My heart is overflowing with.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for liking my music. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and in Hammersgrail, thank you for your call. Let's hear from Rolex in Rustenburg. Hey, Rolex.
Hello, hello, 7 Zillion. Hello, Miss Alma Trading.
Rolex, hi.
Thank you very much. You know, before I talk to you, Miss Alma Trading, you know, 7 Zillion, I once asked myself, who can 7 Zillion like? Which artist could 7 Zillion like? And I had an answer, and that answer was Miss Joanna Matrady. Miss Joanna Matrady, you know, my uncle is your fan, and my mother is your fan as well. So
that's nice.
Yes, I used to listen to your music when I was very young. I couldn't even speak English, but I could feel your songs, you know. And because I was raised by my grandmother, my mother was not there. She would only come when she comes and she would play your songs. And when she's not there, I would play the CDs that, you know, the records that she used to play.
Yeah.
Think of her, you know. And when I walk on the street and they would be playing your music, I wanted to see you, you know, like in person, you know, but I don't know how. You know, I still want to meet you, you know, because you used to touch my soul. As young as I was, I could feel that, you know, this woman is singing something like sad or lonely songs, you know, and at that time they would resonate with me. By the way, I like your old school record, because I don't know, but they used to like suit my soul, you know.
That's so nice of you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I love your mother and your uncle.
Yes, I'll tell them. I'll tell them that you love them too. But anyway, yes. Talking to you and you know, like, I'm a musician myself, and I feel so great that you are still alive. I wanted to meet Whitney Houston, but she passed on before I could meet her. And even you, I don't know how I will ever meet you. Maybe.
Rolex, I tell you what, stream the concert on the 31st of July. That's the closest and the most special experience you will have, actually. before I let you go, Rolex, what's your all time favorite?
Baby, can I hold you tonight?
Yeah, wrong song, wrong person. You have to pick a Joan Armour Trading song.
Terrible.
Revolution song.
That's still the wrong song. You have to pick a Joan Armour Trading song.
Oh my god, we're ending god. This now. This is Rolex.
Oh no,
the of Tracy. That's wow. Oh my goodness. Rolex in Rustenburg. Jeeves. Okay. Didn't predict that happening.
So that must mean I must not love his mother and his uncle now.
I'm sure his mother and uncle are probably thinking, no, you didn't. How could you? Oh my goodness. Oh wow. So Ms. John, let's talk a bit about the instruments. It's quite incredible just how many instruments you're able to play. Again, it's that favorite question about is there a preferred one? And again, does it all just depend on the time and the process of creating? No, and of course for that guitar that you work so well.
I play the guitar and the piano to write. I use those to write. Those are the two instruments I write on. And I love playing both. And the different things that I play because when I write, I arrange the songs. And if I hear a bass part, I want to hear what it sounds like. So I'll play the bass so I can hear what the part will sound like. And, you know, there's lots of virtual instruments. So if I need strings, then I can play strings on the keyboards. And, you know, just like that. But the two instruments that I play the most, or maybe three, the bass, the guitar, the bass, and the keyboards, that I play the most, and maybe the mandolin, that I play the most, is for writing, you know. So, because when I write a song, I like to think that I can write the song and I can sing it just on those instruments. You don't need to have the whole band. That's when I think I know that the song is the song. If you can just play a song without everything else that could go around it, if you can do that, then it's a good song, I think.
Mm-hmm. Earlier you spoke about always wanting to get better. How do you keep working at your craft? What are some of the things that you're still doing to keep getting better?
Writing. That's it. All you've got to do is write. Just write words, write melodies. You know, come up with different arrangements. That's all you've got to do. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it and take notice of what you're doing. And hopefully you'll notice the parts that you're not good at and you work at, or not as good as you need to be. Work at that and just get better. I don't know how else to say that. I don't know what the process is apart from just do it. Just keep doing it till you get it right.
Yeah. Any future collaborations where you say here's somebody I still want an opportunity to work with and you'd like to make that happen? Who might that be?
I don't tend to work like that. I'm very much a person who works on their own. So I don't do duets and things like that. So I've been really, really lucky. I've worked with lots of fantastic musicians. You know, the musicians, when I have a new musician on an album, they've all been really good, talented people. So I've been luckier to be able to work with the different people. But I'm never kind of thinking in the way that you've asked that question. If the opportunity comes up to work with somebody, then great. But I think part of that is because I think of myself as a songwriter. Mm. If I thought of myself as somebody who was a performer, if you like, you know, then I would probably think along those lines. But I don't, because I think of myself as somebody who writes songs.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll play an all-time favorite right now, and we're getting all sorts of tweets as well at Sebe Nkambule and at PyFM 987. Tlabi there saying, thanks, Sebe. Joe Nama Trading is one of my favorites, especially the song Rose. That's a tweet there from Tlabi. And of course,
yeah, that's one of mine.
Yes. Now, many people are still having a good laugh at dear old Rolex there. If we have some time, we'll get to that one. But lots of asks for this one.
I'm not the sort of person who falls in and quickly out of love, but to you I gave my affection right from the start. I have a lover who loves me. How could I break such a heart? Yet still you get my attention. Why do you come here when you know I've got troubles enough? Why do you call me when you know I can't answer the phone? Make me love and I don't want to, and make someone else some kind. and pretend to be just passing by. But I mean to see you, and I mean to hold you tightly. Feeling guilty, worried, waking from tormented sleep. The old love has me bound, but the new love cuts deep. If I choose now, I'll lose out. One of you has to fall, and I need you, and you. When you know I've got troubles enough, why do you call me? When you know I can't answer the phone, make me loud. I don't want to make someone else some kind of unknowing fool. You make me stay when I should not. Are you so strong? Passing by, but I mean to see you, and I mean to hold you tight.
Weakness in me. We're still joining on the line. By the legendary Joan Omma Trading. We're going to wrap it up in just a few. You're tweeting us at Seven Gambola and at PiFM 987. King DOJ on Twitter saying, say hi to Joan. She's a powerful writer. I'm listening to you guys all the way from Cape Town. If by any chance you can please play me one of her biggest hits, Love and Affection. That is indeed the fave. I don't know how many people have actually requested that one, Ms. Joan. Weakness in Me, Love and Affection, certainly one of your most enduring songs. What do you think it is about? What about those two and the many, many others as well that people have been asking for and loving?
I know that people like the opening line, I'm not in love, but I'm open to persuasion.
Yes.
Which is, you know, I say myself, a really good opening line. but I think it's just the whole sentiment of the song. But how, as I said before, I sing that song all the time. I've sung it at every concert that I've ever done. And it's the song that got me known all over the world. Mm. So there's absolutely no reason why I wouldn't keep singing it. I like it. I like singing it and playing it just as much as the audience likes to hear it. And all the songs, really, the reason the songs get on the albums is because I like them. that's why they end up on a record. It's because I like them. So I'm very happy to sing any song that I've written. I'm very happy to sing it.
It helps that they're such great songs. I think that really helps. Were you ever tempted at any point in your life to do something else, to deviate from the music and spend your time doing something else?
No, I mean, you can do stuff while you're doing music. I've done lots of different things. You know, but music, as I said, like this is what I was born to do. Mm. This is why I'm here. It's actually really nice to know why I'm here. Mm. I'm here to write songs, sing them and get people to become attached to them and use them, you know, that's it. That's why I'm here. There's nothing else that I want to do. I don't feel as if I'm missing out. I feel very privileged that I'm able to do what I do.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about that concert just as we wrap it up. What can we expect? As you said, you're switching it up. It's not just going to be your latest offering, Consequences. It'll be your entire body of work, and you're pulling from different albums.
Yeah, I mean, you'll hear The Weakness in Me for instance, you've just played that. So you hear that, you'll hear Drop the Pilot, but you'll hear Into the Blues, and I can't think of the whole list because the show is it's an hour and 52 minutes long, so mm-hmm. it's a lot of songs in there. I can't think of all, can't give you the list. It's a lot of songs. So, you know, people should find something that they really like in there, hopefully more than one thing. And it's a really good show. It's me on acoustic and electric guitar, keyboard player, bass player, drummer, saxophone player. We're playing this really lovely, I call it characterful church. Characterful meaning it needs some work, but it looks great. It's the atmosphere in it is so wonderful. So the thing will be in that venue. No audience, obviously. The audience will be you guys at home. Watching and enjoying it, and you know, as I say, you'll hear all these songs that with different arrangements of the different songs. So come along, come to my website. You'll see the link to get your tickets. Get the ticket. Come on the 31st of July, mm-hmm. and you'll see the time for you because it starts at whatever time in each place. The mm-hmm. same time, but you know, time zones.
Sure.
Church, yeah.
What a pleasure it's been speaking to you, Ms. Jones. Thank you for your time and thank you for your music over the years.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Legendary songwriter, artist, Joan Omotrading. What a joy.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.